This morning, we're talking about the right connection. I don't know if you all recognize that little symbol on the screen there. That's the sort of little symbol you get on your phone if you're trying to get a connection to the internet. And sometimes you put in a little search in your phone, and there's a little wheel that spins around. And it spins around. And it spins around. And it spins around. And then it spins around. And then you stupid thing, you switch it off and you think, I'll do that later. Or you're on the phone to someone and you're trying to get a connection and it's all breaking up and you're trying to get a signal and you're holding it right here. You have to stand on one leg at a window and reach out and you can just about hear them. Connections. Frustrating when we cannot get the right or a good connection. Well, it's great when you get that connection. When you go to Google or other search engines are available and you hit return and boom, you're in. You're on the page you want. You phone somebody up, you hear them crystal clear, every word. It's as if they're just sitting beside you. There's great satisfaction in having that connection. Of course, when Jesus was walking out of the upper room on this journey towards Gethsemane, he didn't have a mobile phone or computers to talk about. He talked about what was in front of him. And I kind of imagine the journey, this is my imagination, by the way, so don't be taking this as the gospel, but I imagine them as walking along, they've come from the upper room, and Jesus has been speaking to them, and they're walking along, and all of a sudden, they're talking about whatever is there, and they're talking about, look, we would say, look at them priests and that food, and look at that barley, that's great, look at them cattle. Well, they were just walking along, and there was vines growing, vineyards. And they were maybe talking about them. Jesus, he says to them, I am the true vine. And as Jesus said those words, you know the way sometimes people say a word and it triggers something in their mind? There's a little word association. When Jesus says, I am the tree, they would have said, oh, hold on. We've heard him saying that before. Because if you remember, way back when I first preached my first Sunday morning, we talked about, I am the bread of life. And Jesus said he was the true bread of life. He reminded them that bread had come from heaven before, the manna that was sent in the wilderness. But it didn't satisfy them completely. It left them hungry. They got fed up with it. They were fed up with the taste of it. Jesus said, I am the true bread. And of course he says here, I am the true vine. The disciples would have known that every time the word vine was mentioned, if you go through the Old Testament, the vine is the Israelite nation. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. I am the true connection. The Israelites were to be that connection. They were the people chosen by God for a special reason. But they fell short. Jesus is saying, I am the true vine. I will make up for all the shortcomings of the Israelites. The way they fell short, I will provide. He says here in the verses, chapter 15, verse 1, that his father then is the gardener. He is saying that in this vineyard, I am the vine. My father is the gardener. We are equal in this. We are in this together. We have different jobs. We have different roles and different responsibilities. But we are in perfect vine-growing harmony. Fruit-producing harmony. Remember what he said? I and the Father are one. That's what these I am sayings are about. God the Father, God the Son, and perfect harmony. I would invite you to open up your Bibles with me at chapter 15. Because the next verse, the next little part of this verse, stopped me in my tracks as I read it. Because as I read chapter 15, verse 1, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener, then it says, he cuts off every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit. And they read on down through the passage. And then if you look at verse 5 with me, it says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. So I ask myself the question, maybe you're asking yourself the question too. If we're in the vine and it says we will bear fruit, how can we be in the vine and somehow be cut off? Well, I went in search of the answer to this question. And to my surprise, when I went back to the Greek language, which I know a little bit about, not a lot, but a little bit about, the word aerial there that's used for cuts off, it's only ever used once It's only ever translated once as cuts off. Every other time it's used to describe a lifting, a drawing. When Jesus lifted his eyes to his Father in heaven in prayer, he aerioed his eyes. He lifted his eyes to his Father in heaven. And then I went in search of some knowledge about vine dressing. And I realized that in a vineyard, you've all of the vines and you've all of the branches. And these branches are all tied to a trellis. And sometimes the branches disconnect from the trellis and they fall down. And they fall on the ground. And then when it rains, the water splatters dirt all over them. Do you know what the vine dresser does? He lifts it. And he washes it. And he attaches them back to the trellis. And then, as I read down through and looked at the Greek, I realized there's a word here that's translated as prunes. The Bible tells us here that God lifts these and he prunes them. Now, I went in search of this, and I didn't realize it in my own Bible that told me there's a different word here. I don't know if your Bible's got little letters after some of the words, and then at the bottom of your page there's little explanations of what those letters mean. The word prunes also means to wash. So there's a different picture for this verse that's in my mind. And I've actually, in my own Bible, I know some people mark their Bible and some people don't. I've got cuts off, scrubbed out here. I read this verse like this. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He lifts up every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he cleans, so that it will be even more fruitful. And I've done this, and I worked through this, and I wrote this out, and I wondered, am I doing the right thing? Have I done the right thing with this verse of Scripture? Have I got my Greek words right and wrong? And then in verse 3, it gives us the context. Look at verse 3. You are already clean. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. They are clean. Now look at why they're clean. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. It's not because of fruit. Fruitfulness does have no bearing on this work of the gardener, on the connectedness to the vine. They are clean because of the word of God. That is Jesus. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. He was with God in the beginning. John chapter 1, verse 1. That sets up this whole book. Nothing that you will do will make you clean. Nothing you can do, nothing you're thinking of doing will make you clean. Jesus cleans us. He cleans us from that thing called sin. The sins that Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden. Jesus wipes that away and washes us as white as snow, the Bible tells us. But we live in a fallen world. And when we're cleaned, connected to the vine, tied to the trellis, there are all times we come off that trellis. There's all times we go out and get ourselves a little bit dirty. We've prayed for forgiveness this morning because of that dirt, because of those sins that we commit. This affects our fruit-bearing capabilities. But God lifts us. He cleans us. He makes us fruitful again. He makes us, as the Bible says, even more fruitful. In this opening passage, in this opening part of this passage, Jesus says, in me. Every branch in me. And that is the key to understanding what Jesus is saying in these verses. What does in me mean? Jesus mentions it 8 times in this passage. So it must be important. 3 times then he says that he is in us. That's 11 times in me is mentioned. Being in. Back in chapter 14, there's some verses that we didn't cover in chapter 14. We're going to look at them just very briefly. Look at chapter 14, verse 20. On that day you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. God is in us. We are in him. In that part of the passage, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, verse 17 of that same chapter 14. The Spirit of truth, the world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, because you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. And what will he do when he's in you? Verse 26 tells us the answer. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. The Holy Spirit is in us. He will tell us everything that we need to know. He will remind us of all the things that we have been told. Being in Jesus, being in the vine, being connected to the vine. Jesus says he was the true bread. Can you remember what he said of people who are in the true bread, who have the true bread? They will never grow hungry. They will never be thirsty. In Jesus means we have fruit-bearing sustenance that knows no end. Being in the Word, being in Jesus, being in the vine should fill us with great assurance and great comfort this morning. Remember back to chapter 6 when Jesus said, the Father will send people to me. What did Jesus say? I will never drive them away. I will lose none of those people, he says. I will raise them up to eternal life. He says in chapter 10 that the sheep listen to his voice. They will never perish. They will have eternal life. In these I am sayings, in this last of the I am sayings, in this section from chapter 14 where Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Jesus gives us a promise of joy when we believe in him. He's saying that the Father will lift you up. He will prune and wash you. He will connect you to me. He will sustain you so that you will be as fruitful as you can be for the kingdom of God. God will not cast you aside because you haven't got what it takes. Because here's the truth of the matter. None of us have got what it takes. That's why he gives it. And he gives it when we're connected to him. We need that connection. This connection, folks, is full bars. All the time. Even in a tunnel. This is a full connection. All the time. And if that's the only thing you leave here this morning with, this will be a great morning. If you leave here this morning with true confidence that Jesus is the true vine, and that you are truly assured that he has made you clean, it'll be a great day. I hope you are assured of that this morning. I haven't looked at the clock, it's only 10 to 12, but I have more to say. That's not all you're going to leave with this morning. So don't be getting too excited. You have noticed this is the first time I've turned the page over since I've come here. We had to spend a bit of time this morning, and I know some of what we've spent time on this morning is a little bit technical. But I hope we've set that foundation, because that foundation is necessary for us to move into verse 4 of this passage, where Jesus says to his disciples, remain in me and I will remain in you. Again, Jesus says, remain 8 times. It's really important that we are connected to him. Of course, you can't remain. You can't be in somewhere unless you first come in. That's why Jesus has said in chapter 14, verse 1, trust in me. In verse 11, he says, believe me when I say. We talked about that last week. He says in verse 23 that the Father and the Son and the Spirit will come and make a home with you. That word is abide. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit, when they're in, they make their abode in you. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. He says, I'm going to prepare a place. In my Father's house there are many rooms, many abodes. It's the same Greek word. And here, this word remain is the same word. Abide. I love this word, abide. To be in me means to abide in me. I love this word because that was the first tune I learned in the bagpipes. I don't know if there's any pipers or anybody that goes on them playing bagpipes, but as far as I can see, every pipe band teaches their young pipers, "Abide with me," that lovely hymn that we sing quite often at times when there's a funeral. But it's a lovely, lovely hymn. And I love the word abide. I love this sense of abiding. It's better than remaining. For me personally, I read the rest of that and I don't put remain in there. I put abide in me. And if you've got the King James Version this morning, I believe it uses the word abide in me. I think it's richer and it tells us more of that relationship. Abiding in Christ gives us two focuses. The first focus is the future. We've got to abide in Christ. Jesus has said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me, except by abiding in me." So if we want to be in heaven for all eternity with God, all the angels, around that throne, we've got to abide in Him. But there's a consequence for the future. In verse 6, Jesus says, "If anyone does not abide in me." Jesus changes who he's speaking about here. In those earlier verses, he's talking about you. You must remain in me. You must abide in me. And now he is saying, "If anyone." He's throwing the net out wider here. He's no longer talking to his disciples. He's talking to the Word. It's amazing when Jesus first spoke this verse, he knew we'd be standing here today. And there would be people in this building, any building, every time this verse is read, that there will be people that this applies to. If anyone does not abide in me. You see, we have to step away from the vineyard illustration here for a moment. Because if you go into a vineyard, every single branch in that vineyard has naturally grown out of the vine. We have no such natural connection. Every single person in here is a branch. The moment you're born, you are a branch. In the vineyard, they don't walk in some morning and go, "Oh, there's 10 new branches that appeared overnight." Every single one of us is a branch. Some are connected. Some are not. You have no natural connection to the vine. It doesn't matter what ability you have. It doesn't matter what position in society or at work that you have. It doesn't matter the state of your bank balance. It does not matter who your family are or how many generations of Christians have been in your family. You have no natural connection to the vine. You must abide in Christ. You must trust Him. Come in to Christ, into the vine. You must have the vine abiding in you, or there are unthinkable consequences. If you're not connected to the vine this morning, I want you to think about these unthinkable consequences. This is what Jesus says in verse 6. "If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." God will not force you to be part of this vine. But He wants you to be part of this vine. He wants you to have that great assurance of eternal life that we've spoken about. And He wants you to have that comfort that we have here today in this scene of time, in the present. Because being connected, abiding in the vine has present consequences. Paul tells the Ephesian church, "We are God's workmanship, created in Christ to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." The good works that Paul is talking about is what the passage mentions. We're to be fruit-bearing. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, abide in me and be fruit-bearing." Do good works and bear fruit. Some things about fruit I want to just mention this morning. All good work, all good deeds, all acts of kindness is not fruit-bearing. You see, all kinds of different religions, religious organizations that do not have a path to heaven because they do not have Jesus in their path, or they use Jesus in a very different way, They do not have a path to heaven, but they all like to do good works. They all like to do good things. People who don't believe in any God, atheists, do good deeds. They like to help people. They say that's an admirable thing to do. We would say to them, that's because there's a good part of you. God created you in His image, in His likeness. The good things that you do come from Him. They wouldn't agree with that. They wouldn't acknowledge that. Not all good deeds are fruit. Because fruit bearing is a kingdom value. Fruit bearing is done for the glory of God. We'll talk a little bit more about that just in a couple of minutes. Sometimes in fruit bearing we get fruit and gifts mixed up a little bit. We're all given a spiritual gift or gifts. The Spirit determines who gets those gifts. But fruit bearing is completely different. Fruit bearing is a consequence or is the result of the Holy Spirit being in you. In Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control. Every Christian has the Spirit in them. So every Christian should be a fruit-bearing Christian. Your gifts, your particular gifts and skills and abilities will help you bear fruit wherever the Lord sends you in accordance to those gifts. But no Christian can say, I haven't been gifted to bear fruit. That is the character of a Christian, to be fruit-bearing. Then when we see fruit, we measure it wrongly. We measure our fruit-bearing against other Christians' fruit-bearing. Oh, look at them. They're great. Oh, look what they're doing. Oh, look at them girls. They're all heading away off to foreign lands and up the road and they're only serving. Oh, I couldn't do that. I'm a terrible Christian. We don't measure fruit that way, folks. We bear the fruit that God wants us to bear and the circumstances that God wants us to bear it. It's determined by our personal relationship with Him, where we're walking at that particular time, and each of us will bear fruit differently anyway. No two Christians bear the same type of fruit, the same quantities at the same time. Because in a vineyard, it's all managed, and even micromanaged, so that all the fruit is tied onto the vines in exactly the same way, the same angles, the same sweep, so that all the grapes taste the same, so that they're all the same size, so that they all are ready to harvest at exactly the same time. We're the complete opposite of that. God works in our lives in different places at different times. We each bear fruit in different seasons. There is no pretty gathering season for the fruit of the Spirit. There is no one harvest time for the fruit of the Spirit. It's continual. We do that in fellowship. That's why we meet. So there's always someone who's producing a fruit to help those who are maybe just a wee bit dying. And our attitude to fruit bearing is very important. Because that reveals our commitment to our Saviour. It helps us to realise the strength of connection we have to the vine. You see, in the old system that Jesus is now going to be changing in a few days' time, that old covenant, they had to. There was a law. They had to do this. They had to do that. They had to do the other thing. That all changes now to want to. They want to obey God. We should want to obey God. Jesus says in that chapter 14, on three different occasions, He says, if you love me, in verse 15, you will obey what I command. Now, Jesus is not saying here, see, if you love me, you will obey what I command. No, He's saying, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Of course you will. It's a natural outpouring of our love to obey Him. He mentions it again in verse 21. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. And in verse 23, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and we will come to him and make our abode with him. This is a natural outworking of the Spirit in us. Instead of these good deeds being something that I was brought up to do, instead of these good deeds being something that is right to do, they become something that we want to do. We want to bring glory to God. We want to display our discipleship. It is to my Father's glory, in verse 8, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Branches cannot produce fruit by themselves. People who do good deeds, and it's not for the glory of God, it's for themselves. They do it to make themselves feel good, they do it to help someone else, but it's never ultimately to testify discipleship and bring glory to God. Jesus makes that clear in this passage. Hopefully you've picked that up, folks. If you're here today and you are not connected to the vine, nothing you do will be of any value unless you're connected. And these last two little verses will bring that right to the forefront of your thinking. In verse 4, Jesus says, a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. He says in verse 5, apart from me, you can do nothing. I am the true vine. Abide in me. Be fruit-bearing. Bring glory to God. Display your discipleship. We can act in extraordinary ways. We may not think it, but it will be extraordinary to other people because other people don't act the way we act. We have got Christ dwelling in us. We are his disciples. Our character will reveal the Father's glory. He will use our witness and our testimony to draw other people to himself. So the next time you're on your phone and you're waiting for a signal, or you're watching that wee wheel burn round and round and round and round and round, remember that with all the technology that we now possess, nothing gives us a connection like the right connection to Jesus Christ. We serve a mighty God. It's a privilege to be connected to him, living lives that bring glory to him. Let's pray. Lord God, we realize the privilege that is ours this morning. And we pray that you would have impressed that right onto our hearts, Lord. That we would know full well that we need to be connected to you. That you are the right connection. You have the resources. You have all that we need to live a life that will please you, to live a life that will bring you glory, and to live a life that will ultimately see us before your heavenly throne, standing before God, our Maker, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the one who dwelt within us to guide us to that very moment. Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.